The bag is packed with the sticks. The drinks are cold. And the scorecard's ready to go. Time to hit the links.
I think that he deserves to be on the team.
Yes.
But if he picks himself as a captain and he tries to do both, it sets a very dangerous precedent moving forward.
I don't know if it does, because I don't know if we're going to be in this position again.
It's time to go on the team.
We're golfers, man. We're weird.
Sponsored by Majestic Oaks at Lake Lawn Resort.
Yeah, I don't care too much about other things outside of golf.
And Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Let's give the people what they want. The original
by
script.
By the people, you mean you.
Yeah.
Alongside PGA Tour Live Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
Scottie Scheffler is the Open champion. Two majors, 1 year. He continues to pick him off, does it in dominating fashion. Everyone got a little ahead of themselves yesterday, Stephen, because they thought he was going to win by more than he did, which was still an outrageous amount. Won by four. Had he won by five, could have joined Tiger Woods, Ben Hogan as the only two players on the men's side that have ever won two majors in the same year by five shots or more after winning the PGA by five earlier this year. So instead, he only wins by four. But he is a Only wins by four. So not as dominant as everybody keeps trying to tell us. But he was spectacular. The entire tournament created a buzz before the tournament with the way that he was talking. And then ultimately also just dominates the tournament. And everybody is in awe of Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, he's a killer, man. And he goes about it in a really quiet way. I call him a silent assassin, if you want. Just the way that he can control his golf ball. He led the field in putting. I mean, he's kind of like what I joke about with Ludwig Oberg. Like, this dude's built an AI. If he's now the best putter on planet Earth, and he was already the best ball striker on planet Earth, watch out.
I was joking with Chewy earlier this week when we were talking about it on Gen Game and Chewy, 7 to 9, right here on 94.5 ESPN on weekdays in the morning. That he, if he was Rory McIlroy, he would be taking a little bit of credit for Scotty, because Rory's the one who suggested that he goes to a mallet,
yeah.
And he just hasn't looked back ever since he made the switch going with that TaylorMade Spider. So Rory deserves, what, 5% credit at least?
Yeah.
I mean, for the suggestion and then Scotty rolling with it.
Yeah, that's fair. It's really incredible. When you talk about how hard it is to make a swing change, and you find just something so simple. Like, we know how much mental, you know, it takes to be a good putter. For him to not just become a good putter, but to become one of the best, in 1 year, he went from like 150th mm-hmm. on the PGA Tour to top 20.
Yeah.
He gained 10 strokes putting at a place where a week before, he was cursing the greens. And then he comes out a week later, and he gains 10 strokes on the field in putting. Man, it's special what we're seeing right now from Scottie Scheffler. And I have to admit, Gabe, like I watched him on Saturday, and a part of me was rooting against him because
just to make it interesting.
I just wanted an exciting Sunday.
Like, not that you wanted him to lose. He could still win.
Yeah.
But you just didn't want it to be a runaway.
And then I watch him come out and birdie the first hole on Sunday, and I went, all right, let's go make some history, Scottie. Let's go.
It was literally any time, especially on Sunday, any time that there was the threat of anything. And you bring up that first hole. Hao Tong Lee stuffs it to, what, 5-6 feet?
Yeah.
And you're going, oh, okay, well, you know, okay, makes a birdie here. Four becomes three. And then Scottie hits it to a foot and a half.
Yeah.
To a foot and a half.
A kick in on one.
Oh. And then anytime he got himself in trouble, he seemingly got up and down making long par putts from all over the place, leading to the statistic that you just brought up. And then the one hole he did make an oopsie. Had a little mistake on number eight, made double, bounces back with a birdie, and it's not a big deal because now he's going out in 34. And when you have the type of cushion that he does, you know, when you start doing the math in your head, okay, so he's up by four, Rory's five back. All right, so if he shoots even, if he shoots 71, all right, Rory's got to shoot 66. All right, that's tough to do out there. Do that on a second consecutive day for Rory. All right, if he shoots even par, and there was no threat of him shooting even par. Again, because even with the double bogey, he shoots 34 on the front, and it's just in control going to the back. So anytime there was even just a sniff, a whiff, a hint that he might be in trouble, and, well, man, if somebody does something pretty magical on the back, he just shut it down almost immediately with the incredible player that he is.
Yeah, the ability to lock in and just understand the moment and not be fazed by the stage and what it all means. You know, we talked about what the comments he made going into the week, just about his ability to compartmentalize and, you know, how he values himself as a golfer versus as a father and a husband, and how he finds happiness and joy in this world. And you can still see that he can turn it on and off, right? Like, mm-hmm. his ability to lock in until the final putt and then the ensuing moments after that final putt, that's been my big takeaway from Scottie Scheffler this year. You know, at Quail Hollow, locked in, same type of thing. He wins by 5 strokes. It was never in doubt on Sunday.
But the problem here's what gave me hope yesterday. It was in doubt on Sunday. He played awful on the front nine. He was pulling it all over the place. John Rahm made a run. And then when Rahm failed to birdie the two birdie holes, the short par four and then the par five, and then Rahm had to be aggressive on the green mile, that gets away with him with two doubles and a bogey. But there was a moment where it was in doubt on Sunday because he played poorly. Now, because he's Scottie Scheffler, he didn't play 18 poor holes. It was just 9 because the way he was able to lock out of it, he was pulling everything left.
Yep.
Everything left on that front 9. He gets to 10 and just, right down the middle. Gets to a par 5. He hadn't birdied all week. Nope, birdie, not a big deal. And the way he was able to flip those 9s around, but it was in doubt, which made me think, okay, especially at this place, he starts pulling it a little left, that's going to be more penal. Like he's actually going to make some numbers. And that was not the case at all yesterday.
And he didn't even drive the golf ball that well.
Throughout
the course of the week. But, you know, led the field in putting. That was only the second time in his career he's led the field in putting an event.
Oh, yeah. He was a pretty bad putter before this.
Yeah, I know, which is terrifying to think if you're, you know, another golfer. But, you know, what I've enjoyed about Scotty is his ability to lock in until the final putt drops. And when that final putt drops, we've started to see a little different celebration for him. There was, at Quail Hollow, he slammed his hat down. Mm-hmm. You know, like he had overcome that hurdle of proving that he could win away from Augusta National. This week, it was the arms in the air, the dropping the hat, looking right at his wife and son, them running up. You know, that's become kind of the iconic Scotty celebration, has been just this sense of relief and joy in a way of like, all right, the hard part's over. Now let's just let it all go.
There was a picture. I wish I remember who tweeted it out, but there was a picture of Meredith and Scotty hugging. And, you know, she's got Bennett, kid, in her arms. And he's got like one arm out and he's like looking directly at the camera, like Jim from The Office, almost as if saying, what's the big deal? We do this like every week.
Yeah.
You know, like Bennett's like, well, how is this a big deal again? Like, what are we doing? Bennett's just become a character himself in these championship celebrations.
I feel like I've watched Bennett grow up. You know, I see him on TV every single week. We need to get this guy a name, image, and likeness deal right now, right?
I don't know. Like, I mean, mom and dad had him, you know, just pretty good Nike sweatsuit going.
Yeah.
I know I see him a lot when I thought to myself, wow, he looks pretty big.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 8 wins in his 14 months alive. He's had 8 celebrations on that 72nd hole in 14 months.
What would have happened if Scotty didn't try to make that ravioli? Cut his hand on with a wine glass. What kind of season could he have had? Is Rory a Grand Slam champion?
Everything changes if Scotty was healthy.
Because it took him a while to get going and then finally hit the ground running, and now he's just picking off wins left and right. And he didn't play early in the season because he was recovering from his hand surgery that he had in January. So he missed a lot of the early stuff, you know, the century and some of the things on the West Coast swing out there. And it just took him a little bit to kind of get into the groove that we've known Scotty Scheffler to do.
I think Scotty has gone from being boring to becoming the face that we all hoped golf was going to have. Like, him and Rory are taking this to a whole new level right now in a really great way for the game.
So that's interesting because I don't know if he wants to be the face.
I don't think he does.
The way, you know, like we've had this conversation, I don't know if you've had it, but I've had the conversation of, who's the face of the NBA? And you see somebody like Anthony Edwards saying, well, like, I don't really care. I just want to do this. And to see somebody like Jordan Spieth after his round on Sunday talk about Scotty being like, yeah, he doesn't do a lot of the other things that the rest of us do in terms of, you know, TV in the ads that they do. Like you see, you turn on AT&T and you turn on the golf tournament, you see an AT&T ad, there's Jordan Spieth. He's done a bunch of them over the years, right? For AT&T, and he's got a lot more sponsors. I mean, Scotty basically just has two. He's got Nike and he's got TaylorMade. That's about it.
And he's doing a lot of stuff for both of them, mainly TaylorMade, right? Like he's appeared in a lot of videos for them.
But
he's
I think that's
done
just
some
like,
stuff with YouTubers.
Yeah, I think that's just like one day. I think that's just one big day that like TaylorMade and these golf companies have, and he doesn't have to worry about some of the other corporate responsibilities that can come with some of the other money. I'm assuming, look, he's the number one player in the world. I'm assuming Nike's giving him a good chunk of cash. I'm assuming the same of TaylorMade. And with everything he's made on course, he doesn't have to chase every dollar and all the different corporate responsibilities that come with taking some of the advertisement dollars that would add another logo to his shirt, put a logo on his golf bag.
And, you know, it's great that he says he doesn't want to be the guy who's inspiring the next generation and he's not Tiger Woods and all this and that. But man, you win at this rate in a sport that is gaining momentum right now. You can't pick and choose when you want to be famous. I think Rory has learned that the hard way this year in this calendar season. Well, and like, but
turns out you can pick and choose when you want to be famous. Apparently, by just choosing which Chipotle you go to in your local hometown.
That's I have a feeling all of the Chipotles in the greater Dallas area are going to be searching for Scottie Scheffler, who you know joked about the fact that he could kind of go under the radar at one Chipotle. He wouldn't name the location.
No, because he wants to keep it that way.
Yeah, he said the one on the SMU campus he can't go to anymore.
Yeah. Because everybody knows who he is. It's close to where he grew up.
But. Yeah, but the point I was getting to is that comment, that 5-minute monologue, if you have not listened to it yet, I urge you to please go and listen to what Scotty had to say just about his purpose and as a golfer and as a human.
Please listen to what he says, because I feel a lot of people did not interpret it correctly.
He loves golf. He loves competing. He loves the joy that comes with winning. Don't lose sight of what it might sound like on the 5-second clip that you might hear of him saying, I can only celebrate for 2 minutes and then it's on to the next.
I mean, but he doesn't know why he loves doing those things. He doesn't know why golf, and like he finds himself questioning, hey, why do I want to win this tournament so badly? He knows he wants to win the tournament so badly. Like that's a part of who he is, but he doesn't know why. And I think that's kind of left him searching from time to time. I mean, he continues to put in the work, loves the grind, loves to compete. And, you know, he just finds himself, okay, why is this important to me? And he hasn't necessarily come up with an answer.
But I think it's been one of the more relatable sound bites we've heard from an 100%. Athlete in recent memory. It makes me think of Giannis before the NBA, like during the NBA Finals run when he had that viral bite about ego and about the past is the past, the present and the future. And that opened doors to a whole new fan base and a different audience for Giannis, and then being like, wow, this guy's really insightful. I can't believe the way that he's made me think. And that's what I've thought about a lot over the last week is Scotty's response about separating his career and his passion with the things that actually give him purpose. I feel that way with my career and my family and the things that bring me joy and happiness. It's allowed me to reflect on my own life in a different way and like how you truly define happiness in your life. And I think that the more that Scotty wins, the more that he is put in front of us as golf and sports fans, I think we're going to start to see him try to find those answers in press conferences and be able to share that with us as an audience a little bit more. And I think we're about to see a different level of stardom from Scotty Scheffler, whether he likes it or not. And I think we're all going to benefit from it because he's a deep thinker and it's something that we can all learn from.
Chewy has said it a number of times in my time working with him on Jen Gabe and Chewy or when I was filling in on the Sunday football show or all the different times. I mean, I've known Chewy for over a decade now. If this is the way he kind of feels, and I feel like Scotty feels the same way. Chewy has always said, if his life is defined by the 9 years he spent playing for the Green Bay Packers, he didn't do much with his life. And I feel that Scotty Scheffler feels the same. And that's not that Chewy's not grateful, didn't love his time as an NFL player, because he did. It's something he was passionate about, obviously, to make it that long. Same thing with Scotty Scheffler. But there are also other things in life. It's not the end-all, be-all. And it's a great perspective to have, and maybe it's kind of helping him dominate the way that he
is. And I think that's exactly the point. Is his ability to compartmentalize and realize like when he's at work, he's locked in. When he's away from work, he's locked in the complete opposite way. And I think you're going to start to see more golfers who have struggled with this. A lot of professional athletes struggle with it. They get addicted to the grind and they can't ever separate the two. Scotty's making it look easy, even though it's something that's not very easy right now. And because of that, it's making him a better golfer.
Yeah. All right, we got to have the conversation. Everybody wants to have it. They're doing it. They're bringing up the name Tiger when it comes to Scottie Scheffler. Should we slow down on that? Our thoughts coming up next here on the tee, but I do want to tell you about our friends at Majestic Oaks. LakeLawnResort.com is the website if you're looking to book that tee time at Majestic Oaks. A beautiful golf course. Steven and I have played it. 2 miles of lakefront. Some great views, especially on that front nine. I think we're both of our favorite hole is the par, the third hole, par five.
I love 2-3.
All along
two down
the
hill.
I mean, two gives you a good lake look over the par three where the green's kind of back toward the lake. It's a great combination. But they also have the best family golf nights in the state. Golf cart snacks under $15 per person. They know what it means to get that family time out on the golf course. So take advantage. Find out more. Book your tee time today at LakeLawnResort.com for Majestic Oaks Golf. We were just out there last Tuesday. We have spent a number of different days out at the Bog Golf Course. Book your next round today. GolfTheBog.com. Beautiful piece of property, especially this time of year. Want to take advantage. The course was in fantastic shape when we were last there last week for the ESPN Milwaukee Delzer Open. Fantastic. So
those greens always are so much harder than I realize.
Some subtle break there.
Yeah, I don't putt ever well at the Bog. It's more because the greens are a lot faster, mm-hmm. and they break a lot more than you think. They don't look as fast, but our team putted their butts off.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want to talk about that right now, golftheBog.com is the website to book your next tee time out at the Bog. So I mean, I was expecting you to be wearing your championship watch here.
No, I have it framed. You know, it's sitting at home and in nice little jewelry center bag still.
Okay, so again, for those who don't know, because we did on the tee last week, we were live from noon to two. Steven was not with his team for the entire time.
And they thrived.
And we saw them bomb in a putt on 18 for birdie, and Team Gruber ended up winning the ESPN Milwaukee Open last week and getting those watches from the jewelry center.
Yeah, it was. They grinded through a couple of birdies without me. Shout out to Peach Schlosser, who really carried the team. I think, you know, David Gruber made a couple of good putts for the squad. Steven as well. So, yeah, it was a big win. We were able to, you know, finish strong as well and somehow win that thing. 13 under doesn't win many golf outings.
No. Well, but again, this is one that doesn't have the mulligans and all those sorts of things. If you can just give me I don't know, just a little bit of the watch band, because I hit a drive for you guys on 7, helped set up a birdie, I'm just saying. Might have helped.
Thank you for your service, Gabe.
Yeah, just putting you right in front of the green. I'm just, you know, David made the putt.
You know, I've golfed enough with you to just watch you blow it by me and have to curse your name. It was nice to finally get,
get the benefit of hitting it that far. Scottie Scheffler, again, going back to that, everybody wants to bring it up. I mean, it was the stat that was shared I don't know how many times they put it up on the screen because, well, the back nine was all academic. But it just kind of cool parallel between Scottie Scheffler and Tiger Woods of 1,197 days is the exact amount of time it took between major number one and major number four. So for Tiger and for Scottie, same amount of days, same amount of time, which was really cool. And everybody is trying to race online about how do we, you know, compare and put this into context of other things that we've seen. I saw a weird one from Kyle Porter, who I really like, but said that if you take out 2000, Scottie is playing as well or even better than Prime Tiger. But 2000 is Prime Tiger. So I don't know, so Tiger's second best stretch, I think, is what he was trying to say. The Hank Haney years, where after he had left Butch, he played some fantastic golf and was really consistent with Haney. I think that's what we're looking at. But everybody just wants to race and talk about Tiger Woods. But Scottie Scheffler, being the guy who can put things in perspective as he is, speaking of the Jewelry Center, gives us our gem of the week. brought to you by the Jewelry Center. If you're looking for, you know, a great watch like Steven has, maybe you're looking for wedding bands, engagement rings, shoptjc.com, the place to do it. Here's what Scotty had to say for our gem of the week when he was compared to Tiger Woods.
I still think they're a bit silly. You know, Tiger won, what, 15 majors? It's my fourth. Just got 1/4 of the way there. So just, I mean, it's, I think Tiger stands alone in the game of golf. You know, he was inspirational for me growing up, and he was a very, very talented guy, and he was a special person to be able to be as good as he was at the game of golf. And I don't focus on that kind of stuff. That's not what motivates me. I'm not motivated by winning championships, and I don't look at the beginning of the year and just say, hey, I want to win X amount of tournaments. I want to win, you know, whatever it is. I don't do that. I have dreams and aspirations that I think about, but at the end of the day, you know, when I wake up and to practice, you know, I feel like what motivates me is just getting out and, you know, getting to live out my dream.
Pretty good perspective from world number one.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say it again about Scotty. His identity, it's not as a golfer. It's what he does. It's not who he is.
Yeah.
That's who Scotty Scheffler.
And I'm glad he had to say it, because then I can just refer to him before everybody else starts racing for the Tiger comparisons.
So here's something I probably should have brought up last segment when we were just talking about how he won. When do you think he wrote that victory speech? He pulls out the notes, making sure I don't forget anybody. Like, when do you think he actually wrote it?
Saturday night. I think he knew.
Just sitting around with Meredith and Bennett, just being like, let me just make sure I got all the people down here.
Again, no offense to Hao Tong Li, but I don't think he thought that world number 123 was going to hunt him down.
Yeah. It would have been so fun if it was Scotty and Rory in that final group.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, the crowd was so behind Rory.
Yeah.
So, and again, understandably so. He's in his home country. It's not like they get Rory McIlroy there all the time. So they're going to be behind Rory. He missed the cut. The only other time this event was there in 2019. So they were so behind Rory for that entire thing. But I am glad. I want to get this out of the way first. I am glad that Scotty won. I am excited to see how many he wins.
Yep.
I am not pulling out the Tiger comparisons yet, because I have seen too many times in this sport where everybody wants to race and make those comparisons. You know who else won four majors in a four-year stretch and won two in the same year? Rory McIlroy.
Mm-hmm.
Did that ending in 2014 when he won the PGA Championship for his fourth in 4 years, including two that year. At the end of 2014, at the end of that major, you would have been called crazy if you said, oh, he's not winning another one for a decade plus. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
You know who won four majors in a shorter period of time? Brooks Koepka. He won four majors in 3 years. He now only has five. And I think everybody would be surprised if he's able to significantly add to that number. Took him a number. He had injuries. He had a number of different things that he has battled throughout his career. But we have seen stretches like this before in terms of winning major championships. So I am not going to pull out the Tiger comparisons. I know, you know, people want to rely on the data golf and try to contextualize just how good he is hitting it and how good he is playing. But again, at the same time, I am going to pump the brakes just a little bit, because we've seen major championship dominant runs like this that haven't resulted in anybody coming close to threatening to.
But have we seen them like this in the sense of how Scotty has dominated his four major wins? I mean, his 2022 Masters, he won by 3 strokes.
Mm-hmm.
24 Masters, by 4 strokes. The PGA this year, by 5. And this year, by 4. And you could argue a couple of those, you know, he made bogeys to finish by just, you know, stress-free bogeys. I mean, Definitely with his first Masters win, he four-putted famously to walk away with still a 3-shot victory. I mean, he's the only golfer in the modern era to win each of his first four majors by 3 or more strokes.
Yeah. So, again, tougher for Rory, because it falls apart in the fourth, which was the PGA Championship, which he won by a stroke. He won his first major championship, the U.S. Open, by 8. He won the PGA in 2012 by 8. Had a 6-shot lead going into the Open Championship, and he just kind of coasted. He went out there, and he shot level par. So, okay, come get me. I'm just going to play mistake-free golf, which he did. And then Ricky and Sergio, you know, ended up only falling back by 2 strokes. But much like yesterday, was more than four. If we're being honest, like, yeah, I understand the actual final tally was four. It was more than that. I would say for Rory, his first three were about as dominant as you possibly can get to win by eight and have a 6-shot lead going into the final round. And nobody's just, you know, nobody's going to chase you down. So you take your foot off the gas a little bit. Again, we've seen that was pretty dominant from Rory. And then it took him a decade to win another major championship.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes this next chapter so fascinating for Scotty, to what we were talking about earlier, is how he handles the stardom. Because Rory, when winning those four, was an instant star worldwide. And he didn't quite have this life balance that we're seeing from Scotty at 29 years old with Meredith and with his son and, you know, the perspective that we're hearing from world number one right now. But whether he likes it or not, Scotty is going to be elevated into a different level of stardom. And I want to see how he handles it. And I want to see if he can rattle off a couple more in the next few years and truly start to separate himself.
Making the jump from three to four does put you in a different level. When you see the players who have three, players who have four, again, you're getting into more and more rarefied air, especially when you start talking about more of the modern game, like post-World War II type stuff. So that's why I am excited for Scotty, and I can't wait to see what he does. Like, he is now crossed into, all right, this is truly historic stuff. Now, just how historic can it get?
Yeah.
Is the question, I think, for Scotty Scheffler, and I am excited to see it. But I just don't want to rush to the Tiger comparisons quite yet, as he said.
Yeah,
he's got 15. Like, we're still a long ways away from approaching that.
Statistically, you can compare this stretch to some of Tiger's best golf. But the length in which Tiger did it over the span of time is not going to ever be seen again in the game of golf.
Right, because Tiger, the Tiger dominant era is probably even shorter than we realize, right? He was 11 years, 1997 to 2008. And then had all the issues. Yes, he then picked off number 15 in 2019, which was so special. But we're talking about Tiger dominance, 11 years, which, again, is impressive. But since that, it's really been just kind of these short bursts that I just mentioned in terms of guys who've been able to pick off a bunch. Even Jordan Spieth won his three in a really tight time window, winning two in 15, winning his third in 17. So for these guys that have been able to pick off multiple, and now to get to this area, it's been pretty condensed together in terms of being a dominant major championship winning player. And that's what's going to be interesting to see going forward with Scotty Scheffler, especially because he's a little bit older. I mean, Tiger, when he got to his fourth, he was a lot younger than Scotty.
Yeah.
Because Scotty can win the career Grand Slam next year, oddly enough, which I feel like I have, you know, if I can get the odds now, I feel they're not going to get any better than right now. But if he wins at Shinnecock Hills and completes the career Grand Slam, the final round of the U.S. Open next year falls on his 30th birthday.
Yep, sure does. you brought up the Rory-Scotty comparison. You know, there was a graphic I saw, I think it was the Golf Channel who put it out. Rory won his first major, his 11th start, Scotty in his 10th. Second major, Rory won in his 17th start in majors, Scotty won in his 18th. Third major, 24th, 23rd. Fourth major, both won it on their 25th start. Of course, Rory did not win his fifth until his 64th start.
Yeah. And look, if I had to bet, do I think Scotty's going to win another one before the next decade is up? Yeah, I would make that bet. I would feel very confident in that bet. But I would have said the same thing in 2014.
Yeah. So it begs the question, because it was after the PGA you posed it to me. Who will win more majors, Rory McIlroy or Scotty Scheffler? You posed it when it was 5-3. I took Scotty.
Yep.
You said I was crazy to not take the bird in hand of Rory already having five and two more than Scotty. It's 5-4 right now. Do you still believe Rory will have more than Scotty when it's all said and done?
I do. Still has a one advantage. And I think Rory wins another one next year, too. Like, Rory's been so close in a lot of these, and he played well in Huff this week. And so many people pointed it out on social media. Like, if Scotty Scheffler wasn't in this tournament, this would have been a really good Sunday. Like, the amount of people that were, like, on that leaderboard, but it's just
yeah,
like...
Yeah, Phil Mickelson would have the same quote during the entire 2000s. If that guy Tiger wasn't in there, we would have had a really good tournament.
But it was so, that battle for second was so tight, but, I mean, Scotty was up by a billion, so... But Rory played really well this week. I think... the way that he has played, I'm glad to see him kind of bounce back after some really subpar major performances after winning the Masters. As he tried, and we talked about it going into, as he tried to navigate and figure out what life now post-major, post-Masters, post-career Grand Slam was for him, because that had been the goal for so long. And now you've achieved that. Okay, so what do you do next? And luckily for Scotty, I don't think he's ever going to have that crisis of, okay, what am I doing next? Because it seems like he's already got that perspective. And I think it just took Rory a little bit of time to figure out, oh, I just kind of do what I've always done. Just grind it out, try to figure out different things. You know, I loved hearing about this. Again, golf doesn't really have an off season, but I guess this off season for golf, where Rory just hit balls into a net for 3 weeks, wasn't watching the ball flight because he was working on a swing change. And it's worked. He can work the ball both ways. He can hit that cut with the driver when he needs to. He can draw it, obviously, when he needs to. Scotty is really dominant, but there are some really damn good players that I think are ultimately going to prevent him from getting to the big number everybody thinks he can get to.
I think the only thing that holds back Scotty from having more majors than Rory is if he gives up the game at an earlier age.
Sure.
And well, it truly
completely possible.
Would not surprise me if at 31, he has 5 majors, maybe 6 majors, he says, I'm satisfied. Would that surprise anybody? After listening to that soundbite from Scotty Scheffler? I don't think so. He's already winning, man. I don't think he needs to have 15. He'll take it.
I don't think that's it, but I think there's a part of him that needs to compete.
Yeah.
So I think
I'm not going to try and get inside his brain. I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me if one day we just heard from Scotty, like, I'm fulfilled in this game, just like I'm fulfilled in life.
I would be shocked if he gives it up before 40.
I hope he doesn't.
So basically another 10 years I think we can get of Scotty Scheffler.
I want to read one quote that I found fascinating because it came from Rory's best friend and mate, Shane Lowry. He said, if Scotty's feet stayed stable and his swing looked like Adam Scott's, we'd be talking about him in the same words as Tiger Woods. I just think because it doesn't look perfect, we don't talk about him like that. It's interesting.
Say that again. Let me try to...
If Scotty's feet stayed stable and his swing looked like Adam Scott's, we'd be talking about him in the same words as Tiger Woods.
I don't think so.
I just think because it doesn't look perfect, we don't talk about him like that.
I think with Scotty, part of the issue for Scotty in terms of his excitement level, because I think if you truly pay attention and if you're a golf sicko, like, he is fascinating. His quotes post-win, his quotes before, fascinating. The way he plays golf and how consistent he is, fascinating. But I don't think the way that he plays, because he's so good and consistent, missing the fat parts of greens, all right, two putting, being aggressive only when the situation truly calls for it, right? I think that prevents him from being exciting to a group of people who are golf casual fans. Whereas with Tiger, I mean, Tiger Woods, the driver wasn't, he didn't drive as well as Scotty does. He just didn't. So that put him in some not great spots.
Yeah.
But guess what that led to? Remarkable recovery shots. Just unbelievable shots that you can't believe you're seeing that a human would be capable of. And that part of Tiger, in terms of the game, is what helped transcend him to a larger audience.
It was club twirls. It was swag.
Yeah.
It was fist pumps. They're just different athletes.
Yeah.
They go about it
completely
different ways.
Different, yes. And because...
And the results are the same.
Yeah. And Scotty is... As a player, Scotty Scheffler is more boring.
Boring wins you a lot.
And turns out in this sport, that's what wins you the most.
Yeah.
Is being really boring. But I think that's why...
Tiger had a lot of boring wins. We just don't talk about him.
Yeah, but he had incredible moments, I would say. In
100%.
Those, like, when he won Pebble by 15, which is still an outrageous thing to say out loud. He won a major championship by 15 shots. Like, I still know certain shots that he hit there. You know, like, because that's where Roger Maltby declared it, it's not a fair fight.
Yep.
Because Tiger would hit shots that are just, wait, how, what? Wait, you just did what? So I think that, yes, and Tiger did take, I mean, he won the Open Championship by 8 in 2000 as well. But there's also, you know, the video of him walking with Stevie down after on 14, the par 5. you know, he reaches that one and two with three wood, hitting it perfectly at the steeple that they were looking at. And Tiger going, oh, is that the steeple you're talking about? You know, there's just different moments because of the, as you mentioned, Tiger swag level that make a lot of those moments more memorable. Whereas for Scotty, the most memorable thing I have from his first major is being able to four putt the final green and still win by a comfortable margin.
Truly.
Right? Like that's the first thing I think of when I think Scottie Scheffler in the shots. I don't really have anything from this week that super stood out. I mean, maybe a couple of the long par saves. I think that was different at Quail Hollow, the way that he played the final four or five holes on Saturday.
The tee shot on 14 on Saturday.
Yeah.
Where he drove the green and made the eagle when Bryson put it in the water in the same hole, in that same stretch.
Yeah. So, I you know, that's there are certain shots from Quail this year, I think, that stand out.
The best Scotty moments have been his celebrations with his son. And that's not just me being the sentimental dad, but it's like Bennett, like, pooping up his back, Bennett playing with his scorebook in the score room, like,
not being able to crawl up to the green.
Yeah, face planting on his way up to the green on Sunday. Truly, so those are the most viral Scotty moments.
Yeah. And look, I cannot wait to see what he does. I'm going to pump the brakes on anybody who wants to compare him to Tiger. And he does too. It makes me feel better about my position.
I got three guys I want to talk about quickly in our next segment who excited me from Sunday.
Okay. We will certainly get to that after I tell you about Erin Hills. It is on our calendars. We are heading out to Erin Hills early September for On the Tee. You know how much we love it out there. It's one of our favorite places, not just in Wisconsin, but on the planet. The hospitality, fantastic. The golf course, I don't know what else we could say about it that we haven't already said. Or really, you know, major golf publications haven't already said, ranking it a top 10 public course in the country. So what are you waiting for? Book those great overnight stays. Book your tee time. Just go to erinhills.com. On social media, congratulations. We had our first hole-in-one at X Golf America Family Field this year, which means that person won tickets to a game plus up to five trips down that iconic slide, Bernie Slide. That's right. Make a hole-in-one at X Golf inside American Family Field. It's open 7 days a week. It's open during games. So you can book tee times during the games. Maybe take advantage of some of their ticket packages as well. But if you make an ace, guess what? You get to go down Bernie Slide plus enjoy tickets to a game. So what are you waiting for? Book today. X-Golf, American Family Field. All right, Steven, you said there were three players you quickly wanted to talk about when it came to the Open Championship as we wrap up that discussion.
So we're going to save this conversation maybe for next week, how we feel about the Ryder Cup roster right now. I don't want to get you too heated up in the moment, but
I will say there was a lot of relief from players, and we'll get into the member guest at Wisconsin Country Club in a little bit. A lot of relief from players who saw Brian Harman's name at the top of the leaderboard early and then slowly start to fade. Like, that's not a guy we need for the Ryder.
Yeah, I mean, if Harman would have ran away with another open, that would not have been good for anyone.
Harper, you get Brian Harman and J.J. Spawn on the same Ryder Cup team.
So the first person I owe an apology to, and that's Bryson DeChambeau. I had him on my stay far away, and I felt really good about that on Thursday. He goes out and fires a 78. And there's something about Bryson that just has this magnetic feeling. And fans feel it, you know, in the practice round going into the Open. He was hitting drivers for people, even though, you know, that just requested it off the tee. Like, he's golf's greatest showman. We've said that many times on this program. The way he battled back after that 78 made me feel really good about...
Fantastic.
Where Bryson is and the role he can play on Team USA in September.
And Keegan Bradley basically said he's on the team.
Yeah, well,
which
they don't have many better
options. Because he's not going to qualify on points, but he should be on the team. Just quickly, because it was a pretty benign weather week, I don't know if he's solved his links problem.
Yeah,
Adam Scott pointed it out, and I think Adam Scott brought up, hey, 51 weeks out of the year, Bryson's game works everywhere. Not sure if it works here, which is a good business decision. But if you get a benign one, which we got one here, got one in 2020 at the old course, like, he can certainly pick one off.
Yeah. You don't apologize for that, right?
You
can't control the weather. But going 78 on Thursday, 64 on Sunday, like, tip of the
pretty
cap.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
To Bryson DeChambeau, 197 strokes in his final three rounds. That's an open record. Two other guys who have burst onto the scene. Harris English, two runner-ups this year in majors. PGA and the Open just came at the
hands. Unfortunately, lost by nine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like the Eric Van Rooyen at the Byron Nelson, you know, losing by eight to Scottie Scheffler, but got the runner up there as well. But Harris English, golfing his ball again. This is a guy who was on that 2021 Ryder Cup team at Whistling Straits.
Had some injury issues.
And battled his way back. Steady golfer this season, been playing really good golf.
I would take him today.
Chris Goddard.
Great,
he showed a
great
lot
two
over
weeks.
The last 2 weeks.
Great 2 weeks.
I need to see something in the final couple of weeks here, the FedEx Cup season.
Certainly.
But, man, I mean, winning the Scottish, third at the Open, he kind of gives me, like, Brooks Koepka vibes just from the look, the length. I don't think he's going to rattle off five majors, but just, like, the way that he carries himself on the golf course kind of gives me a little feeling of Brooks Koepka, and he's gaining that confidence really quickly, starting to have the hot club that you want going into the Ryder Cup.
You bring up Harris English. One call, that's all this week. Gruber lost his one call, that's all. Does Harris English score a point for Team USA this fall?
Yes.
On the Ryder Cup team?
He might even get two.
Okay. It's just a different way to ask if he's going to be on the team.
Oh, he has to be on the team right now.
Okay, we're going to have more of that discussion.
He has to be on the team right now.
Coming up next week, but we do want to talk about the Wisconsin Cup. Member guests, he was out at Wisconsin Country Club. That's next on the tape.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
We just had our Wisconsin Cup. It's a big reason, honestly, going to a member guest. It's a big reason why I wanted to join a private club. You should do the same thing as well. Steven and I, members out at the Wisconsin Country Club. Fortunately, it didn't work out for Steven. But it was a great event. If you're looking for a great place to play golf with great practice facility, no food and beverage minimums, no assessments, and other still great things. Maybe you want the pool for the family. We've got that too. Tennis, pickleball, we've got it all. Check it out, wisconsincountryclub.com. Wisconsin Country Club, just a fairway away.
I'm fired up to hear about this weekend. I was sad to have missed it. My dad and I have played together the last couple of years in the Wisconsin Cup. He couldn't make it out this year, and I had to do Brewers. Shout out to the crew.
Whew! Hot!
They're rolling right now. But I was. It's one of my favorite weekends out of the year, just the opportunity to play competitive golf, have a bunch of friends out there, playing different flights, meet new people. How'd it go, Gabe?
So first and foremost, fantastic time. Put on a great event. Was very, very happy with it. Had a great time. Brought up a friend of mine who I haven't played golf with in a long time. Lives in Texas now. Went to high school with. And I mean, we choked. I mean, there's no way around this. We were day one.
I noticed
one.
It took you a little while to get to the result, so I wasn't going to bring it up.
No. We were day one leaders in our flight. We were in the top flight, day one leaders. It's great. And then we came out in the fourth match, Dave, and we boat raced. We shot a net 31.
Ooh.
And won 8-2. If you're familiar with member guest scoring, you know what that means. So we just need 3.5 points, and we are moving on to the shootout. We are winning. We got 2 points in the last one. So what we did in the morning got flipped on us at the end, and we missed out on the shootout. Still won money, though, in the Calcutta. For finishing second in our flight, so won some money there. But as I had to remind my friend, who this is the first time him playing in a member guest, who by the way, even if I didn't want to bring him back next year, I think I would have to because I'd get kicked out of the club. The dude was the most popular man on the grounds. Like it was just unbelievable. Like
he was doing that Rory bounce around the turn bar.
Like he was like FaceTiming his kids, and members at the club are like, oh, I want to see your kid. Like just, it was fantastic. And unfortunately for my friend, he recently lost his dad.
Mm.
And his dad is a big reason that he loves golf. I played a bunch of golf with his dad when we were kids growing up. So it was, I think good for him to come up here. And as I had to remind him, because he had such a good time and he wanted to win so badly, like, dude, who cares? Like, I know we wanted to win, we wanted to do this, but like,
yeah.
The fact that we just got to play golf together for 3 straight days and have as much fun as we did, truly, that's what these things are about. Yeah, you get to be competitive and like, but nobody cares if you win or lose other than the two of us. And we had such a great time and... he wore his dad's shoes one day as
kind of a nice
little tip of the cap to his dad. So it was such a fantastic event. I'm so glad this was my first Wisconsin Cup. It was such a blast.
Look at you bringing that Scotty Scheffler perspective to the show. I love that. I might have to start calling you Brian Harmon, though. The lefty-lefty, the leader after day one, choking it away. No, but that's awesome. It's really hard to win those events. You need a lot of things to go in your favor.
You can be golfing
your ball, but if, you know, one other team happens to have a terrible nine, all of a sudden they get boat raced, there's so much out of your control. And then, you know, you get into...
And really, it was just like three holes that got away from us.
Yeah.
And now you're just fighting, and they make another birdie, and it's like, oh, jeez.
It's so hard to play golf when you know the number of points you need.
Mm-hmm.
And you just try to get to that level of points. Like any sports psychologist would tell you, you can't think like that.
Oh, and I was trying to tell my buddy, and he just, nope, he was going to do it his way. And
yeah.
Like, hey, we can't be thinking about that. We just got to go out and play golf. You know, it's just what you got to do. Lesson learned. But again, it was a blast. Everybody, the course, is in such good shape.
So you allowed me to do the Gruber Loftuses for Harris English.
Yep.
Give me your Gruber Loftuses, one call, that's all. Shot you're going to remember from the member guest.
From the member guest? It's from my guest. We only played the front twice. And he played, if you're familiar with Wisconsin Country Club, hole number four is a tough par three.
Hardest on the course, in my opinion.
He played it at 2 under par. He made a 60-foot putt for birdie in one match. And then, after missing the green right and having the pin be back right, chipped in for birdie. So, to play just that collective stretch of... To play that twice and birdie it both times in the competition, that is what I am probably going to remember.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was, again, really cool. Whatever club you belong to, if you can get into a member guest, if it's just a buddy, like, I cannot recommend these events enough. When they're well done, they're so well done, and you have such a blast with everybody.
Or just start schmoozing a friend who is a member somewhere.
There you go.
And you can be the guest.
There you go. That's always good advice as well. And we're running a little long. It happens, and when it's the last major of the year.
It's a big week.
But we've got so many other things to talk about, and we'll do it again next week right here on the tee.